Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We enjoy your company, and we appreciate all the wonderful things you are doing to improve the community, that's for sure. Hey, this program is sponsored in part by the Kentucky, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia AFL-CIOs. We appreciate their support very much. And don't forget, folks, you can get a free app for your iPhone or your Android on our website, www.theunionedge.com. And when you download that app, you can listen to this radio program anywhere in the world at any time, right there on your smartphone. You can catch the podcast, you can catch the live stream, you can catch the live program. It's really kind of neat. You can even send us messages. But that's another story. Hey, joining me today from the District Sentinel, we've got Sam Knight. Sam, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back.
Brother, it's always a pleasure. We appreciate it. Hey, what's going on in D.C.?
Well, their Democrats on the Senate Banking Committee have agreed with their Republican counterparts on a package to roll back certain aspects of Dodd-Frank. It was always inevitable that they would try after Trump's election, and they had been trying, but to go through the ranking Democrat on the committee, Sherrod Brown, but Sherrod is more of cut from the Elizabeth Warren mold. So talks broke down between him and Crapo. So what Crapo did was pick off moderate Democrats on the Senate Banking Committee, and it looks like they've come to a deal now. And what that would do so far from what I've seen is it would raise a threshold that is triggers enhanced oversight. So right now under Dodd-Frank, any bank that has at least $50 billion in assets is subject to these stricter rules. And under this new deal, that would raise that to $250 billion, and that would exempt some of the biggest banks in the country from enhanced supervision.
Okay, so we're still safeguarding the larger banks, but it's going back to the wild, wild west with the smaller ones.
That too, yeah. They're also what kind of shocked me about this bill is that there's also from what I've seen, broad exemptions for any banks with less than $100 billion in assets. And as we know, anyone who has followed financial history for a long time knows that, yes, the big banks are problematic and cause instability, but we saw in the 80s with the savings and loans crisis, a lot of little banks got into trouble, and that had some systemic ramifications.
What should we be doing as consumers to try and make sure that our interests and not the wealthy people's interests running those banks are protected?
Well, I would say the first thing is try to move your money out of a bank into a credit union or a community bank, something where a financial institution that their primary, that they're chartered around not just profit maximization as some of the other big banks are. But ultimately, I mean, it's really hard to personally insulate yourself from these things because, as we saw in 2008, people who had never bought or sold a financial security in their life were still impacted when the entire system came crashing down.
Right.
So it's tough. And I think the healthy thing to do is only think about it so much. Otherwise, you might drive yourself insane.
There you go. What else should we be looking at right now, Sam?
Well, there is an interest. Speaking of insanity, there is a hearing going on right now today, this morning, before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Bob Corker has decided to hold a hearing exploring the presidential authority to launch nuclear weapons. And this is obviously happening in the backdrop of Corker and Trump's personal feud. And there's been a lot of interesting talk at the hearing about just when exactly the president has the authority to launch a nuclear weapon without any sort of other, without asking anyone else, really. And Democrats, at least, are openly talking about how the only reason we're having this hearing is because Trump is obviously very unstable and erratic. And in fact, the last time that a congressional committee held this kind of hearing was 1976, which was after Watergate. And I don't know my Nixon land timeline, but I believe it had probably already come out at that point that Nixon was very paranoid and erratic and drunk toward the end of his presidency, and even threatened to, I believe, nuke North Vietnam in the middle of the night while he was on a complete bender. So this is the first time in decades that Congress is holding a hearing on that cheerful subject.
You know, I am pretty sure that the United States is the only Western country where the executive office, the executive branch, has exclusive authorization to launch nuclear weapons preemptively. So
yeah,
that doesn't.
And the most troubling thing about that is that once a war is already started, there is no distinction between conventional and nuclear weapons, and so you're in this gray area where, okay, maybe so-and-so country declared war on us, and that's not cool, and you know we should fight back, but should we really be fighting back with a nuclear weapon that could escalate everything 10 times over? And I think that's really the frightening scenario here.
There you go. So, yeah, I think it's probably a good idea that we're looking to make sure that there are safeguards in place. But that's another story.
Yeah.
Sam, how do we find out more about the District Sentinel and you guys?
You can go to our website, districtsentinel.com. You can search for District Sentinel Radio on iTunes, Stitcher, other sort of podcast mediums. Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/districtsentinel.
There you go. We appreciate it, man. And look, we'll talk to you here again soon, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic. Thanks, we appreciate your time. In the meantime, I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to The Union Edge, Laborers Talk Radio.